The story of Christmas, the story of Jesus, never gets old. It's something we need to hear time after time. And as we've been going through the Advent candle, it reminds us of the themes of Christmas, of hope, of peace that we talked about today, of joy, and of love. And today we'll be looking more at peace, but all of these things are things we experience that are heightened and made more profound by the coming of Jesus at Christmas, that we can have peace at a level we'd never experience any other way than to know Jesus. As we think about the simplicity of Christmas, I encourage you to think about that moment when Jesus was born. It's a simple moment that we sometimes make more complicated than we need. I was told of a story of a friend who they set up the nativity scene every year at Christmas time as a family, and year after year more Star Wars figures were getting included in that. I think a T-Rex made its way in. We all have those nativity scenes we might set up in our homes or that we see, but it reminds us of the simplicity of Christmas. And what you see here is probably one of the more historically accurate depictions of what that scene looked like. It was a simple cattle stall. There would have been probably a cave, not really a structure. It was just Mary, Joseph, Jesus, and the livestock until the shepherds came. The lowly shepherds came to worship the newborn king. But it's simple yet so profound, because what we see here is a depiction of the change of our world, a hinge of history, that everything after this moment would be different. And the world is never the same. We sang of that this morning. This is such a peaceful scene when we sang Silent Night. Silent Night, Holy Night, all is calm, all is bright. Round yon virgin, mother and child, holy infant, so tender and mild. Sleep in heavenly peace. Sleep in heavenly peace. Heaven was at peace. The world now experiences peace because Jesus, the Son of God, was born. As we think about peace today, we're going to talk about the kind of peace that Jesus brings, something we all need in our lives. We look for peace in many areas and in many ways, but only Jesus can bring us the peace we desire and require. And peace is made known to us in many different ways. Peace is multidimensional, but all true and meaningful peace comes from Jesus. Not temporary, but eternal peace. Eternal peace with God. Peace in our hearts that Jesus brings us. Peace with one another. As we wade through all of our differences and conflicts in life, Jesus restores peace between us. And ultimately, peace in the world, everlasting peace in the world. And as we read through this story today, as we consider all that happens, we know that the Christmas story is so much bigger than Christmas. Everything leads up to Christmas, and everything is possible after Christmas, and all the promises God gives. So we'll read the scripture we just read, the kids read to us in Luke 2 as we start off today. But as we consider this, let's take a time of prayer as a congregation that God would speak to us the beauty of that Christmas story fresh and new today. Join with me in prayer. Lord, we thank you for the Christmas story that is so simple and yet so profound, that this little moment in a manger, really in a cave, that seems so significant insignificant in the standards of the world, is truly the most significant thing in our lives, that you would come in the flesh, that you would take upon yourself our form, that you'd reach out to us with your hand to pull us out of the pit of sin. And that's, God, ultimately leading up to your mission to come and be a sacrifice for us. What deep and amazing love you've shown to each of us. So today, as we read this Christmas story, I pray through your Holy Spirit that you'd be speaking to each and every one of us these truths, these life-changing truths that come through this Christmas story. And pray this now in your name, Jesus. Amen. We'll read just those three verses out of Luke chapter 2. This is after the shepherd Gabriel had shown himself the angel Gabriel had shown himself to the shepherds, and now the heavenly chorus comes to sing of the birth of Jesus in verse 13. Suddenly a great company of the heavenly host appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and peace on earth to those on whom his favor rests." When the angels had left them and God into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about." That heavenly chorus of the angels is quite amazing to think about. Glory to God in the highest, and peace on earth to those on whom his favor rests. Jesus came to bring peace. And we think about the different kinds of peace that Jesus came. We're going to start with the most important point today, that Jesus first came to bring us peace with God. Have you ever considered what that means, to have peace with God? It's not something that comes to us naturally. We certainly aren't born into it. We can't work towards it. We can't earn it. We can't stumble upon it. Peace with God is found in one way, in one place, or more accurately, in one person. Peace with God only comes through Jesus, and it's only possible because Jesus came to earth. See, the world changed when Jesus came. But there's one other moment in our history in which the world changed in the wrong direction. You go all the way back nearly to the beginning. When sin entered the world changed. It wasn't the way God had intended it to be. It's not the way he created it to be. But since sin entered into the hearts of mankind, the world changed in the wrong direction. And with sin came a lot of consequences. We understand consequence of sin because we live it out every day. You've lived it out today in some way, shape, or form. The pain, the hurt, the heartache we experience comes from sin. The broken relationships, the fights and the conflicts are because of sin. Our earthly death is because of sin. And we know that sin carries with it many consequences, but we live in the here and now at times, and we are so focused on the temporary, earthly consequences of sin that we forget the greatest consequence: eternal separation from God. Those who die in sin, the Bible says, experience eternal separation from God. We are naturally at odds with him. And the Bible says we become enemies of God because of our sin. And so we know that of all the various consequences of sin, the greatest consequence is eternal separation from God. So of all the kinds of peace that are offered in this world, and through Jesus, the greatest peace we experience is peace with God, reconciliation with God. We cannot let the temporary consequences of sin overshadow the greatest consequence. But this peace is found through Jesus, peace with God. It's the peace that the shepherds were running to see. His special child in a manger, God taking upon himself the flesh of mankind that he may rescue us and pull us from that consequence, out of the darkness into the light, into peaceful relationship with God. And this idea of peace with God is sprinkled throughout the Christmas story. When the angels appear and they tell us of that, one of the songs we sang this morning, and one I remember growing up, "Hark the Herald Angels Sing." Now, for all you kids in here, I'm going to save you from some embarrassment that I lived through. Not all the angels are named Harold. It's not what it means. I believe that till I was about 10. But to be a herald means to be a bringer of good news, telling God's great message to people. And as we sang, "Hark the Herald Angels Sing, glory be to the newborn King, peace on earth and mercy mild, God and sinner reconciled. Jesus came to give us peace with God. And we see it even all the way back before Jesus was born, before Jesus was even conceived. John the Baptist, his father, Zechariah, was visited by the angel of God and was told of that he would have a son, John the Baptist, and what his son would do, that he would prepare the way for the Lord that would come to reconcile man and God. And Zechariah didn't believe that. He questioned the angel, and because of that, his voice was taken away until after John was born. This is an amazing bit of prophecy where the Spirit filled Zechariah, and he gave the prophecy about his son, John the Baptist. And he said, "You, my child, will be called a prophet of the Most High. You will go on before the Lord to prepare a way for him, to give his people the knowledge of salvation through the forgiveness of their sins, and to guide their feet to the path of peace." That through the forgiveness of their sins, they could experience peace with God. That's the peace that Jesus brings. Mary had a moment, too, when she was visited by the angel Gabriel in her room. She was greatly troubled, as you may understand. Didn't know what this message was about. But Gabriel said to her, "Do not be afraid. You have found favor with God," or in other words, you have peace with God. How did Mary have peace with God? Well, the same way any of us would. Through faith in God and his promises and faith in the Messiah that was to come. And just like all the other Jews before her who found reconciliation with God, they believed in the Messiah before he even came. Little did she know, the Messiah she believed in is now inside of her and will be born in that nativity scene so long ago. See, it all comes down to faith in God. That's how we experience the peace with God, faith in Jesus and who he is and what he did. And we read later in the New Testament in Romans 5, "Therefore, since we have been justified through faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ." We're justified. We're made right through our faith, and we can have peace with God through Jesus Christ, our Lord. How is that possible? Is it simply because he came into the world that we experience peace? Now, this is the humbling part of the Christian story, the Christmas story. It's not that he came, it's why he came that brings us to peace. You see, the manger is always in the shadow of the cross. He was born so that he could die. Jesus came with a mission to be our sacrifice that we may be restored in right relationship with God. And it was prophesied long ago in the book of Isaiah, a verse we probably all know. "He was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. The punishment that brought us peace, the punishment we deserved, was upon him. And by his wounds, we are healed." Jesus offers us peace with God because of the punishment he took upon himself. Peace comes with a price. And it's the price Jesus came to pay for us. That's what we recognize when we see Jesus laying in a manger with awe and astonishment of all those who see this Christ child born knowing what he was born to do. He suffered and died that we may be in right relationship with God and at peace with him. And this really shows for us the depth of God's love, his faithfulness to all of us, that he wards all of us to come back in relationship, that he would go to that extent to send his only son to die for us, that God would stop at nothing for any of you. And because of that, because you can have peace with God, you can have peace in your heart. Jesus brings peace in our hearts. We touched on this topic couple of weeks ago in our Thanksgiving sermon, the idea that there is peace that can rule our hearts, the peace of Jesus that passes understanding. And I heard from a few of you that really resonated with you this year. And I don't have to explain why. You all know. There's a lot of anxieties. There's a lot of worries. On the other side, there can be a lot of frustrations and a lot of anger this year. None of those things are the peace of God. That's not the will of God in your heart if you have peace with Him. And naturally, this season is kind of funny, the Christmas season. It is a season of peace. And yet, we stress ourselves out, don't we? We overschedule ourselves and fill up the calendar with all of the gatherings and events. We put on a big Christmas dinner, and all of these things are good in and of themselves, but we forget what the season is about, that we can have peace with God, that we can have peace in our hearts, the calmness and the assurance that we trust the grace, the goodness, and the power of our Lord Jesus to carry us through anything. And in the Christmas story, there's this wonderful example of peace in our hearts. It's a part of the story we often skip past. We don't touch on it often. It's a man named Simeon. We don't know much about Simeon. We know that he was a devout and a righteous man, that he cared very much for his own people, Israel. He desired to see them reconciled back with God. And he believed that the Messiah was coming. We get the impression that Simeon was well along in his years, that he'd seen many things in his life. He'd probably accomplished many things in his life. But the one thing he wanted to do was to see the Messiah that would bring his people back into peace with God. And so the Holy Spirit revealed to him that you will see the Messiah, Simeon, before you die. And he held on to that promise. And the Holy Spirit led him to go to the temple the day that Mary and Joseph brought Jesus for the various rites and the dedication of Jesus at the temple. And so Simeon ran in to Jesus, the Savior, and got to hold the Messiah in his arms. It was all he wanted in life. And what he said when he was holding Jesus is quite remarkable. He said, "Sovereign Lord, you've done as you've promised. You may now dismiss your servant in peace." What a wonderful example of the peace that Jesus brings into our hearts, the peace that only Jesus can bring. You know, we long for many things in this life. Some things are very trivial. I have a list of the kinds and sizes of fish I'd like to catch in my life. I'm still chasing after that, but I understand it doesn't matter. Right? We have things that are very noble, things that we chase after, to be good parents and spouses and have a strong family. But none of those things really matter compared to our longing for a Savior. Only Jesus can truly satisfy the soul. And when you have Jesus, when you embrace the Savior as Simeon did, you can say to the Lord, "I have all I need. I'm at peace for whatever comes in my life." Even in the most difficult and confusing and uncontrollable circumstances, sound familiar? We can have peace in our hearts when our faith is in Christ, when we encounter Jesus. Jesus brings us peace. We see this in this verse we've studied a few times in the last few months, one that I think we need to keep looking at. You may know this verse, but you have to ask yourself, do I really know this verse? Philippians 4, 6, and 7. "Do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation by prayer and petition with thanksgiving, present your requests to God." And this is the great part. "And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus." It's the will of God for you to have peace in your hearts because you have peace with God. And it's the kind of peace that guards you through all situations. So like Simeon, you can say, "Whatever happens next, I'm okay with because I have Jesus." And Jesus tells us of the peace that he's going to leave us in John 14. The peace I leave you, my peace I give you. I do not give to you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled, and do not be afraid. The world gives us only troubles, only heartache, only longings for things that never truly satisfy our desires, but Jesus leaves us his peace, so we need not be anxious or afraid. It's an amazing peace that guards our hearts and our minds, that helps us change our perspective on life and experience the presence of Christ to its full potential, that we would have peace in our hearts. And when we experience peace with God and peace in our hearts, it brings us to peace with one another. Jesus allows us to break down all of the divisions that used to divide us, that created our conflicts and the strains in our relationships. When we think about the Christmas story, probably the most scandalous part of it is the pregnant virgin, right? Now you wonder how they responded to Mary with this story back then. It's probably the same way we would respond now. Right. A lot of skepticism and doubt. And even in Joseph himself, the man betrothed to Mary, he doubted it. He wrestled with it. And the scriptures tell us that he was hurt and confused and wrestled with what to do with the situation. Now, society was enforcing Joseph to divorce Mary. The law of the land is that he should divorce her, not share in her shame. And so we read that he was her husband, but also faithful to the law. Yet he didn't want to expose her to public disgrace, so he had it in mind, which means his mind was made up, to divorce her quietly. There's conflict between Mary and Joseph in this time, and he had every reason and every right to leave her. But something amazing happens. After he had considered this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, "Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary as your wife, because what is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit." Now, he had already heard that from Mary. Now he's hearing it from the angel, and it's validating who the child is inside of her. Joseph had made up his mind to divorce Mary. And if it had been any other child in this world, he would have. But it wasn't any other child. It was Jesus, the Son of God, the Messiah, the Savior of the world. And even before Jesus was born, he brought peace to the marriage of Mary and Joseph and restored his relationship. There's great power in the relational peace that Jesus brings to all of us as believers. And when we have God's peace in our hearts, we can experience that peace with one another. We read in Colossians 3, "Let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts." And this is the word we talked about a couple of weeks ago. The word rule is like an official of a game, helping to determine the outcomes and creating ground rules and kind of the bumpers in a bowling alley, right? It keeps you on track. So when the peace of God rules in our hearts, it helps us to determine these outcomes. And one of those is in conflict, since as members of the body, we were called to peace. God has called us to peace and equips us through the peace that rules in our hearts, the peace of Jesus. And we don't always live up to what God has called us to or what God has expected us to do, but we do see many barriers being broken in the body of Christ when believers in Jesus come together and all the things that should divide them and put us at odds with one another fall over. Jesus, our true example of grace and forgiveness and reconciliation, leads us toward peace with one another, even in the most entrenched relationships of hatred. Now, one thing, if you think we have issues with one another in our church today, one thing we can take into consideration is the Jews and the Gentiles of the early church. Now, they hated each other for millennia. There was a mutual hatred of one another. They did not associate, they did not mix, but now we see in the church of Jesus, Jew and Gentile in the same congregation together, singing the same praises, praying for one another, worshiping Jesus together. And all of those barriers that once kept them apart fall down. In a beautiful portion of Scripture in Ephesians 2, the Apostle Paul is talking about these Jews and these Gentiles that have hated each other for so long, but then the role that Jesus plays. For he himself is our peace, who has made the two, speaking of the Jew and the Gentile, one, has destroyed the barrier and the dividing walls of hostility. Now let's make it very clear, these barriers, these walls of hostilities, these are things we've created. But Jesus has come to tear them down. And there's many things that can divide us and take us apart. And for as long as you're going to look for them, you'll find them. But Jesus, only Jesus, can bring us together with peace with one another. And it all became possible because he came in the manger that day. The last one is a sort of now but not yet. You'll notice a verb tense change here. Jesus will bring peace to the world. Now that's exactly what we read in the first scripture today, peace on earth to those whom his favor rests. It's what the angels proclaimed, but it's been the plan all along, a plan still unfolding. And as Pastor Chris talked about last week, Advent really is a season of hope, of expectation, and of waiting. We celebrate now the first Advent of Jesus coming in the flesh, but now we're experiencing the second Advent, waiting in anticipation for Jesus to come again. And when he comes again, he brings with him a kingdom of unending peace. Now, when you pray in the Lord's Prayer, "Your kingdom come," you may not know it, but you're actually praying for Jesus to come again and to establish his kingdom of peace. We're saying, "Come, Lord, any time." And when he does come, he will ultimately bind Satan and establish for 1,000 years that kingdom of peace, of which there is no end. And this is not a new idea. This is foretold over 700 years before Jesus was born in the book of Isaiah, that he will judge between the nations. He will settle disputes for many peoples. They will beat their swords into plowshares and their spears into pruning hooks. And what this means, it doesn't mean they're taking their swords and hitting a plow. No, they're repurposing these swords, the steel, into plows. The weapons that were meant for destruction, they're now repurposing for peace. His nation will not take up sword against nation, nor will they train for war anymore. Not only will there not be war, there will be no desire for war and conflict in what Jesus is coming to do. We read further in the book of Isaiah, the one that we all know, Christmas time. "For unto us a child is born," Jesus, "to us a son is given, and the government will be upon his shoulders. And he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace." Now, the increase of his government and peace, there will be no end. We always say we want world peace. I think all of us do at some level. But it's not through policies. It's not through our government or human efforts, though that may lead us closer. Ultimately, peace in the world will come through Jesus, and only Jesus. So as we end today's sermon, we're going to end it the same way we started. We're going to take a look at that simple nativity scene. As they gather and ponder all that Jesus will do, all that he has promised to do, knowing and believing what is to come, wrestling through all of the various, for the parents for sure, the various bits of hope and excitement, but also knowing what Jesus would do on the cross and the dread and the despair they would experience. But what does it mean to you to see that Christ child laying in that manger? Well, because Jesus came, we can be reconciled to God. We can find peace with God. And it's only possible through the child you see there. We are at odds with God until we have Jesus. You can try many things in this life. Some of them feel like they're working, but nothing works except faith in Jesus. If your faith is in Christ, if you recognize that He is Lord, that His sacrifice is sufficient to forgive your sins and to restore you into the right relationship with God, you know there's nothing you can add to that and nothing you can take away from that. Because peace with God is peace that only Jesus brings. And it's because He was born in the manger. And because Jesus came, we can have peace in our hearts. That unexplainable, immeasurable peace that's found nowhere else. That no matter what happens in life, you can say, it's okay. Because I have Jesus. It's something we can't explain to ourselves and certainly can't explain to others, except you have to have faith in the child that came. Because Jesus has not abandoned you then. He won't abandon you now. He leaves behind His peace for you. He commands our hearts not to be troubled, not to be afraid, but to hold on to Him. You see, the child laying there, what it means is that because Jesus came, we can have peace with one another. And this is where I really want you to think about all of those things that are keeping you from peaceful relationships with those around you. Those things that you say it's beyond forgiveness. Jesus came to forgive you. And now He instructs us to forgive others, to break down the walls of hostility and division, because His will for you and for us is peace. You have the ability to forgive, to reconcile, to live in common and shared faith and hope in Jesus because He came and because He's with you now. That's the peace that Jesus brings. The last we think about is a peace that is yet to come, that's in progress, that we will experience peace, everlasting peace in this world. Sadly, it's not here yet. How I wish it was. So we continue to pray, Lord, Your kingdom come, and we look forward with anticipation and with hope for His second coming. Because God has promised peace on earth. He has yet to break a promise. So in this Christmas season, I encourage you to think of the simplicity, the beauty of that manger. Remember who came, and why He came, and what He's done for you and for us and for the world. Remember the peace that only Jesus can bring. Let's close in prayer together. Lord, we thank You for that great message of peace. And God, it is a gift to experience that peace. And we know, Lord, it all starts with peace with You, that none of this peace we've talked about beyond is possible until we've reconciled with You. So I pray for anyone who's not yet experienced that peace, that is still living in the consequence of their sin, that they would simply believe in You, the Son of God, the Son of Man, the Messiah, the Savior of the world who comes to forgive sin. That they had placed their trust in You, they would believe Your sacrifice on the cross is sufficient for the payment of the penalty of our sins. God, that we call You Lord and Savior and live our lives for you as you work in us. God, what a beautiful, yet simple and profound story that you have for all of us. God, may we live in that peace that only you can bring. And we pray this now in your name, Jesus. Amen.